The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're back. One more hour to go. It's been a busy one with Brian Harsin, Elle Duncan. She brought the house down as usual, Coach Donnan. And let's get back to the calls. And Cadillac is up next.
Hey, Paul. This is Parks, and I'll be quick about it, but I survived bladder cancer and skin cancer and throat cancer, so I might forget a couple of names. But
I think we're all pleased to hear that. That's an amazing battle to overcome.
Come back. But anyway, talking about the Georgia-Alabama game, people are not talking about is that is who's the healthiest that game on that day. And their two wide receivers are great. That's right. But they went down. We didn't have our two best wide receivers all year. We would have scored a lot more points with them. But anyway, the part of the game is that people are not talking about is our defense let them go from the 20 to the 20, and they had to kick field goal. And except for that one fumble that he should have just put both hands on it and would have punted back to the 20, and they would have had to come back trying to get another field goal. But anyway, our defense gave up field goals, and their defense, with their great defensive ends and stuff, gave up touchdowns. That was the difference in the ball game. If they'd have scored one touchdown out of instead of a field goal one of those times, it would have could have possibly been a different outcome. But the difference in the game was ours was field goals and theirs was touchdowns. Okay, and that was what I was going to talk about. That's part one. And part two is kind of funny. I think you'll like this. But all my wife's family is from Alabama. All my family is in Georgia. It's that one brother in Tennessee. And every time I'd have to go to Alabama for Thanksgiving, they would, give me the business because Alabama beat Georgia or Auburn beat Georia. But if I want a Georgia one, I could holler, blow them on. But anyway, this particular week, they all came up to watch the ball game, the Alabama-Georgia game with me. It was Saban's first year. And then when we would score, my dog was a lab border collie, and I would bark. But my dog went in Alabama would score, and my Alabama people tried to get my dog to bark, and my dog would turn around and look at me and look at them, wouldn't bark. And it was so funny because they kept every time they'd score, they tried to get a dog to bark, and he wouldn't bark. But her brothers were, they had their own race cars, and they'd go to the dirt track in Alabama and all that stuff and nightclubs. But anyway, I thought that was pretty funny that they was trying to get my dog to bark and he wouldn't bark. But that was part two.
That dog wouldn't
part
bark.
Part three is my dad had a gas station, and this guy kept coming in with six or seven cars and to tune up, and he became best friends with our mechanic. And so they would play poker on the week every Saturday night. I watched the front and took care of the oil changes and the gas and all that. But it got to where he owed so much money that he gave him a car. It was a 54 Cadillac Seville. That was my first car. Well, that next day at school, I forgot to roll up the windows, so I went back. Of course, it's electric windows. But back then, everybody said roll up their windows. I had to go stand in front of class and say, why was I late? And I said, well, I had to roll up my windows. To roll up my windows because it was raining. Well, my fullback was in that class, and so he started to call me Bobby Cadillac, and so that stuck. And that name stuck with me. I was a fair quarterback, but I couldn't ever stay healthy. But anyway, I kept getting pulled over by the state patrol, and a certain police would pull me over, and now every now and then, finally, one state patrol said, look, and he went to the back seat, and the armrest, you pull it down, and there's a wing nut, and he pulled that wing nut, and there's two sterling silver tubes that went down underneath the bumper, and it was a taps, and that's where he put the moonshine. He was a moonshiner. That's why he always had these 7-8 cars souped up. And So we were we tried beer at first, but your beer has to be cold. That didn't work. So we would get people to buy our liquor. So we put it in the tubes, and all we had to do was when the pool got pulled over, we'd have Cokes and ice, and so we no liquor or nothing would be in the car. And you just go around when they leave, you know, put your cup under there and pour the tap. The kids want, the high school kids started me wanting to rent out my car for dates because the seats would go up and down and have naturally have this tap. But eventually I had to get rid of the car because I got tired of getting pulled over every time, you know, but I just thought that was...
Well, that's great. Hey, listen, Cadillac, you take care of yourself and try to stay healthy and let us hear from you again. Thank you very, very much. Mike is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well.
You know, I've given a lot of thought to the Georgia-Oregon game, Paul. And I'm not trying to be a Georgia hater, but Ohio State lost to the Ducks last year because of one thing, inexperience. And I've looked at these teams because I do a little gambling. I've compared units up and down, sideways and front ways and back ways.
Okay.
And Oregon has a lot of advantages. I think they've got the advantage on the O-line, the D-line, the linebackers. And I don't know if you watched the Oregon spring game, Paul, but I tell you what, the light has turned on in Bo Nix's head. He never looked better.
So you're making that judgment based on a spring game?
Well, I know it's a spring game, and I kind of figured you'd say that because I was going to bring that up myself.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, the talent level is razor thin in difference on these two teams, and I know even the tight end room. Everybody knows Georgia's got the best tight ends in the country. I'll give them that. But have you seen Oregon's tight end room?
I haven't looked in there yet.
Guys. Dude, they've got – if Georgia's number one, Oregon's number two. They've got five guys that average 6'5", 255 pounds that can all run, can all catch, can all block.
Okay.
I think due to experience, this game's a cakewalk if you're going to give me 17 points. I'm going to get down pretty heavy on this, Paul. If Oregon scores first, that game's on ice.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you say, and again, you don't have to answer this. When you say get down heavy, okay. I mean, how much money are we talking about here?
Couple K.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of bread to bet on a football game.
It ain't that much bread, but you know, I only bet the first couple of weeks of the season, Paul, because they get it wrong. After a couple of weeks, the odds makers don't make mistakes. But this is a charity to be picked. Oregon in the points is a lock. If they score first, that game's on ice. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you. Would you bet a couple of K on Oregon plus 17? Sounds like a lot of money to be gambling on a football game. What do I know? I'm just a talk show host. Jimmy is up next. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I want to ask you about college football rankings, man. I'm a Tennessee Vol fan, and come on, man. Hey, some people saying that we're possibly going to come in second in the East and all that. And if we're that good, we're not even in the top 25. You got Wake Forest in the freaking top 25. Come on, man. I don't get it. And not only that, you got Alabama number one. No matter what Alabama does, every year they're going to be number one. Georgia's defending national champions. They're number three. It seems like there's always bias toward Alabama and Dick Saban. No matter what happens, they love Alabama. But Tennessee... No top 25. You think that's justified?
Well, they would be in mind, but Tennessee lost that bowl game, and I think that that hurt them a little bit. They had a 7-6 record, and when people vote, they don't study this. They just look at what happened last year. They try to guess what they think is going to happen this year. But yeah, I think if you're objective. And you look at Tennessee's schedule and you look at what they have coming back, you have to have them in the top 25. I mean, they're a legitimate team. They're a legit contender for number two in the SEC East. So, they would be in mind. But here's the thing about the top 25. It will change dramatically on week two. There will be upsets. I don't know where. but there will be. And a lot of these schools that we think, I mean, you talk about what we think now, the overreacting after week one is unbelievable. And a couple of teams will get knocked off, and Tennessee will win tomorrow night, and they'll be ranked somewhere between 20 and 25, probably, maybe even higher. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. We still have plenty of time for you to get in, and we will be back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's check in with Joseph in Tupelo, Mississippi. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Paul. I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
Everything else going on good in the world these days with you?
Man, I am fired up. Everything is great.
That's awesome. So I'm feeling that same way about football season starting up. And I'm excited about Saturday. But also, I was going to say, I mean, I'm sorry I was a little late for the call today, but that phone call, that cat from Louisiana, Charles, talking about the beer drinking championship.
Yeah,
he
had 25 beers in an hour, he said.
I mean, and it was an awesome call when Larry called in, the screen test. That's my favorite person in the world that calls you screen test. Larry is what I'm going to call him. You know, for Shelby. But the main reason I'm calling you, I was going to ask you, what do you think of our Rebels this year? And, I mean, I know we have three good quarterbacks, but we haven't decided on a single one yet to start. But they are talking about Jackson Dart, Luke Altmyer, but what about Devontae Kincaid? I mean, he showed them both out in the spring game, but just like you said earlier, what about the spring game? But I don't know, so I'm just wanting your opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little confused. Joseph, I'm confused about Ole Miss, and that's why I think Saturday will help define some unknowns. I really have a hard time believing Lane Kiffin doesn't know his quarterback. I don't know any coach who, after a couple weeks, isn't pretty well convinced. That doesn't mean you're letting on, but for a quarterback coach like him not to know, it's just not believable. I'm sorry. I don't buy that one. Thank you for the call. Morgan is in Dothan. You're on the air. Hello, Morgan.
Hey, Paul. Auburn graduate and Auburn fan, wanted to respond first to Legends call.
Sure.
You know, it's great to be so confident and cocky, but I guarantee he found himself in the fetal position in the during the Iron Bowl in the fourth quarter of Georgia. So
guarantee
he should
he
take
did.
Everything into perspective at age 58. But, Paul, you lived it. You lived this Auburn, Alabama deal here in the state. Right now at Auburn, Coach Harsin, you know, we know we have the financial commitment. We have everything going, but does it not feel like we're Tuscaloosa 2006? We've gone through four coaches, or, you know, if it turns out bad and we go through the fourth, you know, what's the answer here?
Well, it's complex, but I think in Harsin's case, the question answers itself within a reasonably short period of time. Now, is that 6 weeks or 8 weeks? But this is not going to be a call that I think goes down to the final game. A lot of times in the past, the Auburn-Alabama game would dictate a coach's future. That's not really the story here. It's how he handles, I think, the first six games and then what happens the rest of the way. And it's – I mean, I like his approach. I mean, what else can you do? I mean, a lot of coaches would have probably looked for a buyout and gotten out of there knowing that the handwriting was perhaps on the wall. But he has doubled down, and he's a really steely, sincere person. But I don't think he has the support. I don't think he has any support, frankly, other than from fans.
Certainly, he stepped his game up. You know, last year he was a little invasive, but he's gotten out there. We've seen him do stuff. The financial commitment from the university is at an all-time high with facilities.
Right.
What we're questioning is his retention and his recruitment. You know, recruitment has been a little bit lackluster. I mean, I don't think we're recruiting at nearly the level we need to. You know, so going into a season like this, I hear legend, although it's a very, you know, obnoxious call and a little arrogant, but at the same time, that's what it should be preseason. You should be optimistic about your team, and for God knows, Auburn, we have been optimistic more times than not, and only this year we go into a season that I really don't know. You know, Mercer could be ahead in the fourth quarter on Saturday. And
Morgan,
you
know, I would agree. I think there's probably less optimism going into the season than I can remember. I mean, there were so many weird Gus Malzahn years that I can't quite remember one from the next, but there is a pall over this program, and I think what happened to Alan Green the other day just made it more dramatic, even though there's not an Auburn fan alive who didn't think Alan Green was going to be gone. So that to me was just a lot of fake outrage from people, including the media, I might add, about something that was going to happen anyway. And quite frankly, I think the school was smart to make that decision when they did, so now they can find an athletic director in a fairly short period of time, and these things are not complex.
A little disruptive there in the AD change out, but if you know ADs, you know, you could ask Legend who the AD at Bama is, and I doubt he knows who it is.
Well,
you know,
but it's Morgan, Nick Saban, I guess, disruptive, but yes, but on the other hand, the problem with leaving Alan Green in charge when you knew he wasn't returning is that I remember sitting with him a couple of months ago, and it's awkward. I mean, you know the guy's not coming back. He knows he's not coming back. He knows that you know that he's not coming back. And then you still have to ask these ridiculous questions like, well, do you want to be back? And the answer, of course, is yes, even though, you know, so that's out of the way. And the good old boys and the president will figure out who the next athletic director is. And meanwhile, while that's going on, we'll find out what happens against Penn State and LSU and all the other games that are going to be under a magnifying glass.
One last question. If you have any insight, in 2013, after the Chizik debacle, they interviewed Kirby Smart trying to find the next Nick Saban, because I fear that we're kind of in that 2006 Alabama mold, and Nick Saban showed up. You know, it's not many Nick Sabans out there, but Kirby Smart, being that he committed at the time that he did under Saban, Auburn gave him an interview, so I hear.
That's
and
true.
He wanted more control than what they were willing to give him at the point, because he was just an assistant coach. But I give it to those guys. You know, the foresight that they had of seeing someone like that may be a game changer. I just don't know if there's a lot of them out there, the Nick Saban type.
I know there's been some news on that. I remember that day very well. I happened to be doing a show that very day from the Waldorf in New York. It was the night of the Hall of Fame dinner. And, I mean, Jimmy Sexton was holding court in the lobby. And there was a rumor a minute, and I never took that rumor too seriously. I think Kirby Smart had a conversation with them, but he knew if he didn't get an offer, he was going to hurt himself with Alabama. So I think he got out of that very quickly, and Malzahn emerged. And I think Malzahn was always going to be that person because of what he had done prior to that. But this time around, sure. there's already a tug of war. This sounds awkward to say, considering we had the coach on a few minutes ago. But yeah, I mean, there's two or three candidates that I think would bubble up to the top immediately. There's always a surprise because you don't know. Somebody could emerge. Like Billy Napier, a big upset, a big win, and next thing you know, everybody wants that. This like Mel Tucker last year, even though he's been around for a while. So, I think it's Harsin has a green light. Go out and coach. Whatever happens, will be. I mean, we'll know. If he beats Penn State and LSU, then suddenly there's momentum, and it could carry him. Remember Tuberville. You remember all these times. Malzahn, and even in 2013, nobody really saw that coming. That team, I remember the
– And even last year, Paul,
beating
Ole Miss after the – going 6-2. Now, and being competitive and having leads in every game, it's not like you're getting pushed around every game. Even the Iron Bowl was, a total surprise, but it was competitive. But I really do feel like Jimmy Sexton, for Auburn's standpoint, is not is more of an opponent to us.
There are some ADs that will not deal with him. And in fact, there was an SEC school last year that the word was the AD would not let him be around. And they ended up getting somebody who was not a Sexton client. I mean, the problem is, if you look at it as a problem, he controls 10 of the 14 SEC head coaches, and you really I've had people that he represented wonder exactly what was going on in certain coaching searches because of various factors. It's pretty deep in the weeds here. We have to go to a break, but really good call. Thank you for your help, for your call, I should say, and we will be back with more phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Final 30 minutes. So we had Coach Harsin on earlier. Great conversation with him as he has now chosen a starting quarterback. CJ is in Virginia. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Great to talk to you, man.
Thank you.
I had to respond. Legend, Coach Saban. I'm forever grateful for everything Coach Saban's done for LSU. And I mean that, I don't hate Coach Saban or whatever. I mean, LSU is where we are at because of Coach Saban, period. to say, there's no bitterness here, but you did leave for Miami Dolphins, went back and made a juggernaut of our arch enemy at Bama, but no hard feelings there. He could have done that at LSU, but all right. But Coach Saban, I have nothing but respect and gratitude. Alabama fans, little something different there. And I'm sure most Alabama fans sit down and have a beer with be great, you know, but it seems like we're always in a death roll when we play these football games with them, you know, these last several years. I know they've had our number, but the thing about Legend, I think he's worried. He says he's not scared. I think he's worried about BK, about Brian Kelly. I really do. Just listen to him talk. I mean, I just think, you know, come that first Saturday in November, that cardboard cutout he's got of Nick Saban's going to burst into flames. Because I'm telling you, Nick Saban, he helped create the beast on the bayou, but it's going to – that tiger's going to bite him come that first Saturday in November. And I want to say something else, too, that Legend always says. He talks about Stetson Bennett. You know, Stetson Bennett's only about an inch shorter than Drew Brees. I saw Drew Brees up on the field. He looks just like a regular Joe. I mean, he looks almost like me, to be honest with you. He's no regular Joe, okay? He's only one of the greatest NFL quarterbacks of all time. And so I love Elle over there. I love when she calls in and then you have her on your show. When you see her there all the same, too. But she should give him more credit, man. I'm telling you, Stetson Bennett, he's a champion, and I'm all for him. I'm calling out Legend on that. I don't think it's right when he's a great quarterback. I think he'll prove it again. But I think Legend is a little concerned more than he lets on. I know he's crowing right now, and good for him. I'd be crowing too. But I also heard him say before, like, LSU is jealous. We went out and got Brian Kelly. I mean, we won three national championships, including, you know, starting in 2003. Alabama has six. It's nine between us. That'll tell you something right there. These are Florida and Auburn and all the other teams that have won it. Georgia, of course, last year. But, you know, so anyway, I just wanted to kind of say that. Just be careful because we're coming for you. You know, we're coming for Bama. And we're going to get there. It's take a little bit of time to build it up, but we're going to get there.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure Legend appreciates the warning. Let's check out Braden in Nashville. Hey, Braden, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, first-time caller, good to talk to you. Just going to ask you how you think Bryce Young is going to do for Alabama this season. You know, he had an awfully good one last season. You think he can match that or possibly even do better?
I think he can match it. I mean, I think a lot depends on one of the biggest question marks, and that's the offensive line. I expect it to be better. He had a lot of pressure last year, if you remember, in quite a few games, not just the Auburn game and the Georgia game in the championship. But I think Jamar Gibbs is going to help him a little bit, being while Robinson was a really good running back last year, I think Gibbs is far more versatile. And there's some depth after that. So, and then the mystery is, what are we going to see in these wide receivers? Will he have the two that he had last year? Will they be as good? Probably not. But if they're good, he'll have a lot to throw to. I mean, Bryce Young is so talented that he just needs somebody to go down there and catch the ball. He can get it to the right place.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I mean, I was at that Auburn game last year, the Iron Bowl. So, you know, I've seen firsthand how he can put up with pressure and even perform when the offensive line isn't doing so great. So, yeah, I think your take is pretty astute there.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, we'll have a different opinion or more concrete opinion after Saturday night. You know, one thing I love about the first weekend, I mean, we go crazy on the positive and the negative end. I mean, there'll be some teams that are better than we thought, and then there will be some that we are shaking our head about. But at least we're talking about something more than what we've been talking about. David is in Fayetteville. You are on the air. Hello, David.
Woo pig, Paul, I hear you coming to town.
On my way. Well, not actually, but I'll be there soon.
Well, these poor Auburn fans, we gave them Chizik, and now Chad Morris is just waiting for the hire. Come on, Auburn.
Chad.
I don't know, crying around here. Come on.
Is Chad Morris back in high school? Did I read that correctly?
I think he is. He may be back in Texas high school.
That's where he belongs.
Hey, we got catfish and barbecue ready for you for breakfast when you come up here. And I'm sure you got that hog hat. Go ahead and make your reservations for the Bama game, too, because both teams are going to be undefeated, and we'll host you. We've got a tailgate. We'll get you over, too. Who's on your crew this year?
It's the same as last year. Laura. Who was on the crew? Roman. Jordan. Somebody else.
Guard, sorry.
Tebow. Tebow, I forgot. How could I forget Tebow?
Marty McGee coming too, the whole game?
They will be there before we are.
Well, Paul, if you look at that Arkansas schedule, everybody's talking about the last 3 years, how tough it is, and it has been top two, top three in the country. But it's also interesting. If you look at we're playing Petrino, we're playing Hugh Freeze, we're going out to BYU, we got the home games. Is there anybody that has as interesting of a schedule as us?
Now, I forgot. I didn't realize Petrino was making his return to Fayetteville.
Well, first time back. Well, maybe brought his motorcycle one other time.
I guess the question, how many jokes will there be about how he's getting to the stadium?
Oh, a few. They've already got shirts out.
I'm glad he's back in coaching because it gives us somebody to laugh at.
Well, he's a great coach. He's just a bad personality.
Oh, he is. I got to know him. I had a meeting with him after he lost the job, and it was bizarre because he was trying to he was represented by a friend of mine, and he was trying to get in on the Auburn job when they when they hired Gus Malzahn. And I didn't know what to ask the guy. I'm sitting in a room with him, and what are you supposed to say? You know, what? Why did you do it?
Was it worth it?
I had so many questions, but it was not on the air, and we were just, I was trying not to get punched, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he might have a swing. Well, you know, we got so many good coaches up there. I hope you guys probably already have your schedule, but Coach Muss, all these championship coaches we have, I hope you get some of those on the show.
Yeah, we will. I was on with JB this morning, and we were talking about Muss, and I'm not a basketball expert. I'm just I follow it and I love it. But I think he's the best coach in the SEC right now.
Well, yeah, and you know Pittman. I don't know if there's a coach that looks more like a football coach.
No.
I was going through the SEC coaches, and most of them don't look. I mean, they're not Bobby Bowden looking. You know, they're coaches that look like coaches.
Yeah, if you say what does the quintessential college football coach look like, Pittman, I always thought Philip Fulmer looked like a football coach.
Yeah.
Right now, Kiffin does not look like a football coach. Saban looks like he should be the chairman at General Motors.
Pfizer or somewhere.
But I'm trying to think. Napier looks like a football coach because his father is a football coach, too. So.
Yeah.
Kirby looks like a football coach. Heupel does too. I mean, but who's
that? If you're casting in Hollywood, those are some of the names.
Eli Drinkwitz does not look like a football coach.
No, Beamer, he looks like one.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who else. Kelly looks like one too. I mean, he's hardcore.
Yeah. Well,
Jimbo does not look like a football coach. Jimbo looks like. Jimbo to me looks like a plaintiff's attorney. I mean, he's just talking so fast that you better watch out. Hey, thanks for the call. That's a fun segment next year. Who looks like a football coach and who doesn't? We will be back. Final few minutes of the show. Straight ahead.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. James is in Marietta, Georgia. Hello, James. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are great. Thank you for asking.
I hope everything's going well for you, man. I hope you're excited as I am about this college football season. I know the whole nation is. God, these last 6 months have been horrid. But I tuned in probably in the later half of your show, and I'm just hearing all this stuff about Georgia this, and you know I'm a big Georgia Bulldogs fan. I'm going to tell you guys this right now, and mark my words, Georgia is here to stay. Stetson Bennett's back. That offensive line is back with Broderick Jones. I got Mitchell. I got Ladd McConkey. I got the big Brock Bowers and his other two towers. And Devin Washington and Arik Gilbert, which is from my hometown, Marietta, Georgia. Go Dawgs. But check this out, man. You guys across the nation that are doubting Georgia, when you guys get your mouth shut, it's going to be funny. You get your popcorn ready. Or I got a prediction for Saturday. My prediction is 34-17, Georgia. Go Dawgs. And we're gonna get, and that defense is gonna step it up. Everybody thinks that just because they got inexperience on defense doesn't mean they're not gonna be ready. Remember, Kirby Smart's a defensive coach. Let me say those words slowly for the dummies in the back. Defensive coach. So what do you think's gonna happen? That defense may have a little hole.
You know, James, you've just made one of the best points because I've heard other people say, well, you know, they lost Dan Lanning. No, they didn't. they still have the defensive coordinator.
See, this is why you got a show on SEC Network, Paul. You understand football. These guys don't understand that Kirby is ready. Kirby is ready. Don't ever think Kirby's not going to be ready. And Pop is going to be in the middle of that defense. He's going to get those boys bright. And don't forget about Malachi Starks from Jefferson, Georgia. That boy is a star. He's going to play that free safety position like he's supposed to. The other boys on the defensive line, they're not as big as the old defensive line from last year. But just watch what I say.
James, I love that optimism. Randy, another Georgia fan. How are you, Randy?
I'm doing fine. How are you? I'm a diehard Georgia fan. I wanted to give a prediction on the Georgia game this weekend. I know.
We just talked to the most knowledgeable Georgia fan in America, Randy. So I think I will go with him. I think that's a pretty sapient prediction. What do you have?
I'm going 35-17.
You're going right outside that point spread. I see what you're doing, Randy. I hear you. I'm going to have to decide who to go with between the two. David is in South Carolina. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How are you this afternoon after hanging up on me 2 weeks ago?
Why did I hang up on you?
Because I said Tennessee might go 9-3 with an outside chance at 10-2, and you wanted me to give you points, and I tried to give you points, and you hung up. Two weeks later, Roman Harper gets on national TV and says the same exact thing I was trying to tell you. Did he or did he not?
Well, I think he said 10-2. He said 10-2.
He said 10-2. He said we were going to beat Georgia and lose to LSU and Alabama is what he
predicted. Well, I guess this is where I should apologize to you for doubting your veracity. I'm sorry.
I'm saying 9-3. LSU, Alabama, Georgia is going to be tough. But I see 9-3 with outside at 10-2. I mean, what do you – do you not see 9-3?
I can go with 9-3. But beating Georgia, I will have to give a lot of thought to. Hey, thanks for the call. Tim is up next in Savannah. Hello, Tim.
Paul, I was listening to the talk radio today, and Keyshawn Johnson was on there saying that can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah. Tell me. I'm listening because I'm on with him tomorrow morning. Okay. I want to know what this guy said.
Yeah, he said something that about the SC that basically the SC was riding off of Alabama's back, that it, as a whole, we wasn't that great.
Keyshawn is so seriously misguided.
Yeah, how many championships has the other leagues won compared to the SEC over the last 15 years?
Well, the answer is that the SC has not won a title since, what, 2004? '04, yeah. That was the last time they won a title. That was they played for the championship the next year. I'm glad you told me that because when I'm on with him tomorrow morning and I will be prepared. SC has come back a long way. I'm a huge fan of what Lincoln Riley has done, but they aren't on the same level as anyone right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Keyshawn was saying that the SEC was riding off of Alabama's back.
That's not a true story. I'm glad you told me that. We'll figure all this out tomorrow. We have a couple more shows this week. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.